Press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to take a spin.
The shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama. Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nominated?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today? Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life
in New York City. I am Connor McDowell.
And I'm Dylan McDowell. And this is our last episode of 2020. We did it.
We did it, Dylan.
Well, I'm a little premature in saying that, but yeah, we did it. We did it, Connor.
I know. I can't believe it. This year has been absolutely crazy. When we look back on it, we'll of course remember coronavirus. We'll remember Trump getting coronavirus.
Oh my God, yes. One of the best nights of my life.
I thought it was going to get him.
For
real. Is that bad to say?
We'll move on.
How does he's got some, like, they were injecting him with something secret. You know what I mean?
And he's allegedly still on the steroids.
Oh my God. Like, true drama. But anyway, this year, everything shut down, we've had so many pop culture moments. I mean, the pop girls did not disappoint. Reality TV has never been more prescient. It's just been a great year for watching TV, and in the movie department, nothing really crazy great. But we'll get to all this later, actually.
We will.
Because we're going to have
a very special roundtable discussion this week with an amazing guest. Now, before we jump into that, I do want to just say, before it passes me by, that this year for the podcast has been incredible. And we have, like, surged in success thanks to our wonderful listeners who have supported us through all of this. And if you're feeling a little giving this holiday season, we do have a Patreon, which you can subscribe to, where we go in on everything and have occasional special guests. Like, my boyfriend was on 2 weeks ago, and we also sometimes share the video from the Zoom call if the guest permits. No pressure to our guest right now who's sitting there. And we had Derek Klena, and we had Celia Rose Gooding, and Ms. Cox, if you're naughty.
And speaking of Jackie Cox, we met today's guest because we were on Michael Hull and Jackie Cox's show. And they were one of the big special guests, and we met, and we were like, we got to have you on the pod.
Well, it was us, and it was Jackie Burns, and we were gagged that this person was on because, you know, long time listener, first time meeting.
Right. That age old adage.
You've heard it.
Or expression, but I'm going to bring him in.
Do it.
He's here. All right. So our guest today is one of the most popular young Broadway stars in the game. He's often crushed on by fans worldwide, adored for his incredible pop rock voice, charming personality, and devilish good looks. Audiences will know him from his star turn in Newsies on Broadway, at Pittsburgh CLO, and the Muni. He made his Broadway debut as a high schooler in the John Stamos and Gina Gershon revival of Bye Bye Birdie. He's gone on to star in Wicked as Bach, tour the country in Canada as Mike TV in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and was also seen on TV as one of the Lost Boys in NBC's Peter Pan Live. Before the shutdown, he was in the new musical Fly at La Jolla Playhouse. He's a singer-songwriter, dog daddy to Jackson, TikTok star, and we're absolutely gagged to have him on for our final episode of 2020. Please welcome to Drama, Danny Quadrino.
That intro is amazing and makes me sound so much cooler than I am, so thank you.
Oh my God. Listen, we met months ago, and we were like, we need to have Danny on, and then when we knew we wanted to do a big dose of drama to talk about all the drama of 2020, we were like, Daniel Quadrino is our man.
Oh yes. Do you prefer to go by your government name of Daniel, or do you?
You know, it's so funny because no one that actually knows me calls me Daniel. It's like only if I'm in like a room where I have to be like professional. But even once they know me, they're like Danny. The only thing I will I hate being called is Dan, because it makes me sound like a cowboy, and I am not a cowboy.
Dan.
Reminds me of that SpongeBob episode, Dirty. I'm Dirty Dan.
Oh, yeah, no, Danny, I'm thinking what our guests are going to think of your voice, because of course they know your singing voice, but your speaking voice is so fun. Have you ever done voiceover work?
I actually just took my first class in intro to voiceover kind of stuff. But that's so funny because I grew up being so self-conscious about my voice, and obviously, like, every time I'm on the phone with a telemarketer, they're like, ma'am. And I'm like,
ma'am.
Bitch, I'm a sir. Get here. But I know I have like a higher timbre voice. But yeah, I haven't really done much voiceover. I want to because I love doing voices.
I could see it's you coming. Doing it for sure. I could see it 100%. Well, you've had such an amazing career. You've been in like hit after hit on Broadway.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And we want to get into it all. We also want to make sure we have enough time to talk about all of the drama of 2020. So maybe Connor will take us back to the beginnings.
Yeah. Well, before we go back, Dana, I'm just wondering, are you well? Are you doing well?
You know, 2020 has put us through it, but 2020 also gave me a new skincare regime. So that's been really helpful.
And he's glowing, yes. Y'all. He's glowing.
It's also a ring light, but but a lot of it is moisturizer. But, I've been pretty okay. 2020 has royally sucked, but I was fortunate enough to be able to stay in the housing that La Jolla Playhouse offered us for the last 9 months, like, of the shutdown. So, like, I was in sunny California since March, and I finally made it back home. And it's an adjustment. The weather
is La Jolla San Diego?
Yes.
Okay.
San Diego is the literal most beautiful place I've ever been. My boyfriend actually flew out to see the show the day it got shut down. So he never got to see the show. But thankfully, I had a bootleg because of understudy purposes. So he got to see it. Sorry, I don't condone bootlegs. But in 2020, I do.
Everyone's like, B-Way Belters. Everyone's like, yes, like, let me share this.
Don't condone them. It's so funny that like other shows now are using those bootlegs to like promote their shows. I was like, What had happened?
I know.
All of these, like, no bootlegs. I'm kind of low-key here for a bootleg right now.
Yeah. Well, we've been so starved.
What else do we have, you know?
Truly, my best friend, Jimmy Larkin, is the creator of Let's Hear It for the Choice. A little plug for him. And he lives right across the hall from me in San Diego. So when he made it, it just started coming and coming. And we were talking about how, like, he doesn't really want to use bootlegs because, like, it's this whole weird thing. So, but I love that him and B-Way Belters, like, I feel like they're, like, both my best friends. Obviously, Jimmy is actually my best friend. But, like, I feel like I know B-Way Belters. Like, I feel like I've known them forever. And maybe I do. I don't know.
Maybe. Who knows? Whoever it is behind the scenes.
Yeah.
There.
Okay, wait, Danny, we need to talk about this sexy boyfriend of yours. What's the tea? How did you guys come to be?
He was Father Bucket in the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory National Tour.
Okay, wait.
I'm listening.
Connor, I need to hold you back.
Hashtag dead dad. That's what his track was. He did like the dead dad ballet. But
oh my god.
Yeah, I booked the tour and I was like, I'm not going to date anyone. Like, it's the year for me. Like, fuck that. Like, oop, I don't know if I can curse. You can bleep me out.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And I was like, whatever. Like, we got to Buffalo. We were attacking. And I was like, okay, he's like cute. But it's like, fine. Like, it's a year for me. It's a year for me. It's a year for me. Mm-hmm. And then, like, we got closer. Like, and then I was like, you know, I was flirty because, you know, I'm not dead. So I, and then, so that just kind of like, gradually happened. And then we really started, like, it was like probably like the third city we started like hanging out and like seeing each other, but we didn't like call each other boyfriends official until the end of the tour, because we didn't want to mess up everything, because like we were so good about like not bringing it to work and just like being very chill and like whatever. The last 6 months of tour, we like literally lived together in every city. So it was like really nice to save money. But it's been like 2 years now. Like, it's crazy.
Oh my God.
Mazel.
Thank you so much. We are very happy. I'm, you know, I obviously love him very much. And, you know, it's been so nice that we've gotten to live together for this 9 months without knowing that, like, yeah, like once the world goes back to normal, we're not going to live together anymore. But like, we know that we can do it. But I also know what I'm like. I know what I have to work on. What I have to work on, because other people is a lot.
Yeah. Okay. So wait. So he came on March 12th or whatever the date was, and never left.
Yeah. So we actually opened. We opened March 10th. We had 27 previews. We opened March 10th. My parents flew out with my brother, saw the show, did the opening night. They flew home March 11th, like right when like shit was really hitting the fan with Miss Rona. And I was like, wow, be safe. And like, we were talking about it last night, like while I was like in the other room, because I still am like self-isolating because I don't want to. So, And I was like, I can't believe all that happened. But he flew out. He saw Jagged Little Pill the night before, hugged someone who then had coronavirus. And we were like freaking out for the first 2 weeks that he was there. And like once the 2 weeks hit, we're like, you're good. Work. Awesome. We were the first people, yeah. I want to say, in our La Jolla complex wearing masks to the grocery store.
Trendsetters.
Yeah. I was like, trendsetter. I got like 35 different masks now. Like, they're all really cute.
In rotation.
Absolutely. So, yeah, he came out there and then he never left. He came with a Weekender bag. And then I was like, thank God there's a Marshalls right down the block.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But it was so nice because, like, it's just so beautiful that we were able to go on like hikes and just like every, like it was a year of kind of like, for me at least, I've been go, 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 which I'm so thankful for. But it was like for the first 6 months, it was like a forced stop and slow down. I'm like, this is not bad. But now I'm like, this is horrible and I need to fucking do something.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm gagged.
Yeah.
I'm happy that you two had that time.
Yeah, together. Me too. And, you know, like, yeah, and we're going back there too. So, like, just to, like, wrap it up and, like, move out because we've been there for almost a year that we've just accumulated a lot of shit, like an air purifier and a soda stream and, like, just, like, so much crap.
I want one of those.
Life-changing.
I want a soda stream. Now, okay, so Fly, this is the latest Peter Pan musical. So you have a little bit of Peter Pan in your history, having done the live.
Just a little.
So what was your track in Fly? Were you Peter himself?
I covered Peter. So,
okay, I could see it.
Yeah. I actually auditioned. I was like, do I have any Fly stuff around? No, I don't. I just have like Wicked and Newsies stuff like everywhere in this room. But I had done Peter Pan as a Lost Boy on NBC. And I actually didn't originally book that. I was like in the mix. Then they cut a few Lost Boy tracks. So there goes me. I was actually supposed to go do a show in Goodspeed. And then the week before I left, I got a call from my agent being like, just kidding. You got to pull out of that show because you're actually going to be in Peter Pan Live. Wow. And I literally didn't have a line, but the entire time I was there, I was like, it's an honor to be nominated. I'm in the thing, like whatever. And then I ended up being, you know, you could see me in the thing. But then Fly,
oh, yeah.
I covered Peter and I was a Lost Boy. I was Toodles. Yes. And
we stand.
Yes. And I was like the, you know, not the leader, but like I had this weird theme with Peter Pan. I found out that I booked that show really late, actually like a week ago, a year. Like, so last week, like a year ago. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. I had submitted a video while I was in Atlanta on the road. For Peter, didn't hear anything. And then I got a call from my agent when I got back and I was only back for like a few weeks. And then I went in, did a dance call, went in the next day, sang for Jeffrey Seller and Will.
Kind of a big deal.
Yeah. And Will Van Dyke, like, who is like a really good friend of mine. And Jeffrey Seller was like, okay, so tell me your entire life story. Like literally right before, like right after I walked in the room and I was like, I'm from Long Island. Like, that's like, is that a personality trait? And I did my stuff. And then he's like, oh, do you have any other Peter music? And I was like, oh, you only gave me this song, but I sang this one for my video, fully knowing I knew the song still. And he was like, yeah. I was like, oh, I can see if I remember it. And then I did it.
Shana.
And he was like, boom, baby. I like was like, okay, I feel good about that. And then like 4 days later, found out that I got it. And then I flew out there January 7th, and then I just got home like 2 days ago. But the show is incredible, and I really hope that you guys can see it, because it's like a modern retelling of Peter Pan, but it's from Wendy's eyes. I mean, Stephanie Clements and Andy Blankenbuehler choreography is like, what? Like, just amazing. Yeah. And it's like the set designer from Hamilton, the light designer from Hamilton, the sound designer from Hamilton, Jeffrey Seller, who is Hamilton. Not is Hamilton, but he like
the only other producer other than Lynn.
Yeah, exactly. Him and Lynn are Hamilton. Signs the check, you know, but, so like it was incredible and I don't feel cheated out of doing the show because we did 27 previews, but I was just like, hopefully the trajectory was like open, close there, maybe Broadway fall, but who knew that this was going to happen. But it has a really big message about female empowerment and like not needing a man to save you, which I'm like so here for. We need more stories of like strong female characters not needing like a prince or a boy or someone saving them, like they can save 100%. themselves. Like, it's Yeah.
Oh, I love that. I want to see it.
That reminds me of Connor's favorite line in Cardigan by Taylor, where she says, trying to change the ending, Peter losing Wendy, as opposed to, you know.
She does say that, which we've lately been, you know, talking about Taylor a lot because Evermore came out, but it's no mistake that Taylor put a Peter Pan reference in the song Cardigan, a song about, I think it's about a girl looking back, you know, on a relationship.
No, Taylor never writes about that kind of stuff.
Groundbreaking.
Danny, speaking of, oh my God, I was excited to mention this to you because I'm obsessed and have been obsessed for years of a Taylor cover that you did at your solo show at 54 Below of Begin Again.
Oh my God. I love that song so much. And I was in another relationship at the time. And okay. It was like kind of new. And I was like, I'm going to sing this to you. Every time I look at it now, I'm like, because that person also like left me and is now engaged, which I'm like, work, power to.
Drama. Okay.
But like left me for the guy he's engaged to and like lied. He put me on his video blog, so I'm putting him on his podcast.
Wow.
This is drama.
I'm sorry about that, Danny. And you know, the song is about getting into a new relationship and somehow erasing the things that someone told. So maybe we can rewrite the story.
Well,
now.
You know what? Honestly, like if I were to sing it again, like it's like I'm in such an amazing place, especially like with my boyfriend and like in that aspect of my life that I'm like, and like whatever. Our 20s are for like a mess, you know? And I was like early 20s, so it's like fine. But I love singing Taylor Swift stuff. I opened my last solo show with Blank Space, but there's no video of that, I don't think, unless someone put it up.
I believe I was on the marketing team at 54 at the time, and I believe it's somewhere in an archive.
Oh, so. I'm sure. I mean,
maybe it'll be resurrected.
I feel like I was like, I help pay 54 Below's mortgage because I sing there so much.
You're a regular.
Truly.
It's funny you say that because I had just moved to New York like the fall you booked Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and I had seen you singing so many songs on YouTube, and I was like, Dylan, he won't be in any of the like group shows or anything. I just got here.
I'm so sad about that.
And he's gone.
Well, the last thing I think I saw you do, Danny, was your 10 o'clock or 10:30 show. It was like in June of 2018, maybe?
Yes, and that's the one where I did... Yeah, I was like, what was that? My roommates dressed me and I loved my old roommates, and they told me that it looked okay. And then I felt like I looked so schlubby. I had like ripped jeans on and a t-shirt, and I was like, 54 Below is V classy. But I was like, fuck the patriarchy. I'm going to be.
No, that was very, like, I'm doing a 10 o'clock show and no one does these. Yeah. And yeah.
Oh, I had a crystal chic around my neck. Clearly I was going through something.
Oh, I love it. Okay, so we've talked about so many things, and we're going to get into even more pop culture, but we like to ask all of our guests about the beginning, about their Ring of Keys moment, which is, you know, that moment when they thought, oh my God, I want to be a star. Do you feel like you have that moment?
Yes, I think so. It's kind of like two parts. The first Broadway show I saw was Aida. So,
oh, wow.
Like, naturally, I was...
With Heather? With Toni Braxton?
Simone played Aida. I believe she was the first replacement or early on, because it was like earlier in the run, because everybody else was still there. And I died. I was like, this is amazing. I was like, what the hell is Broadway? Like, I didn't know what it was. And then I saw 42nd Street and like young Daniel was not as impressed. I was like, that was boring. Like, I do not get it. Clearly, I love pop music because I was like, yes! Yeah. Like, but so then I like got involved in singing like at the talent shows because there was nothing else to do. And the first song I ever sang live was Somewhere Out There from Five Goes West, which I'm like, like me in like an oversized like American flag t-shirt from Old Navy with like jeans that didn't fit me. Like, I was always very small. And I think that
song is epic.
And I like sang it because Clay Aiken sang it on American Idol. So like that's like, let's just go back and unpack that for a moment. It's like, what? Now I'm like totally like, I was like, why did I want Clay to win? Ruben obviously should have won. Like, it's like, what were my choices back then? So I fell in love with singing because of American Idol. And my neighbor actually growing up across the street, she was... My neighbor's grandmother was like a Rockette back in her day. And like, my brother was a figure skating growing up, very gay fam.
I love
gay siblings. We love
it.
That.
Love it. And So we were always like putting on shows in like the front yard, or like rollerblading the music and like whatever. Like, and just so my neighbor signed me up for a dance class and I bitched the entire way there. I was like, no, I'm not taking a dance class. I don't want to do that. Left, signed up for 6 dance classes a week. And I took 6 dance classes a week from like 3rd grade to 8th grade. And then that's when I really started getting involved with theater. So that's, I think, my like introduction into the thing that is.
Wow.
Entertainment.
Yeah. Oh my God. And so then when you were in high school, you booked Bye Bye Birdie, this iconic revival.
Yes. It was very odd because I had just started doing community theater like 2 years prior, and my star turn as Troy Bolton was my breakout role. Wow. I played Troy Bolton, and then I did Grease at this community theater, and I played Duty. Yes. And we did the 19. I don't know if you're familiar, but we did the 19.
Oh, I played Duty as well.
So you know the Sam Harris 1994 revival version.
Yes.
It gave me a polyp, like legit. Like, I promise you it did, because I was so dumb that I'd be like, I can't sing this. Spray chloroseptic, like try and belt, like just true. Yeah. That was clear for the morning.
Something came out there.
Yeah, I was like, work. So that happened. And, you know, got over that. And then I like learned how to sing again. And I was playing Albert Peterson in a community theater production of Bye Bye Birdie. And then I booked Bye Bye Birdie on Broadway the same time. So I like literally was like, got the call that you're going to be on Broadway. I was like, fierce, gotta go to rehearsal. Click. Like, and I like went and played Albert Peterson in rehearsal. Yeah.
That's so funny.
That was like, people can say what they want about that show and like that it was bad and blah, blah, blah. But like, it was so magical. And like, I literally still keep in touch with every one of those people, like in the show, like especially the teen ensemble. One of them was my roommate all throughout college. We went to the same college. I dated the girl who played Kim McAfee. We're on really great terms now. Came out of the closet late.
Are you talking about Ms. Allie Trim?
No, but I do love Allie Trim. Her understudy, Catherine Blades, and I dated
her. Okay. Because we had Allie was one of our first guests we had on the podcast.
I love Allie so much.
Same.
I was having a really rough time a couple weeks ago because my unemployment was giving me issues. And she was like, she texted me randomly and she's like, what's your address? And I like was like, oh, like, so I gave her an hour later, cookies were at my house. And I was like, wow, that was, I like cried until like cookies.
She's a real one. She is. That is so sweet. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
But that, you know, Birdie was just incredible. I got to meet people like that and like, once the shutdown happened, I was like, why not? Like, it's our 10 or however year anniversary. I was like, I'm going to try and get everyone together for like a little group Zoom. Everyone came, like mostly everyone came. John Stamos got on our Zoom call. Like, he shared the screen, showed us all videos and pictures. And this is like 10 years ago. It was like,
and he's like a Disney fanatic. Was this like house that covered in Disney?
No, but like he was, no. But, yeah, it's in my other room, but like I have like, our opening night gift from him. It was like those flip cams that like had the USB attached to it.
Oh, I remember those.
We got them all for opening night. And like, yeah. And it was just so sweet to like reconnect with everybody because like, you know, like everyone's an adult now. Like, it's just so weird. Yeah. It's just like one of the kids who played Randolph goes to Harvard. I'm like, cool. I'm dumb as hell. This is great.
Now I've got to ask on Connor's behalf, was Nolan Gerard Funk present in the Zoom call?
He was not.
He was busy promoting The Flight Attendant on HBO Max. He plays like an FBI agent on that.
Connor keeps up with him. Don't worry. If you need to know his updates, you can know.
No, you know what? I decided to unfollow straight men on, I think he's straight. I don't know. I don't actually care.
I mean, I knew him, he was. I think he is.
Yeah. Because I was like, why am I gassing up the straights when I could be like supporting, you know, other gay men online? You know what I mean? But anyway, so you did Bye Bye Birdie. And then you were in one of the hugest, I mean, to this day, hugest Broadway sensations of the new millennium.
Honestly.
Newsies.
Yeah. Like,
seriously.
Life changing. It was like my reintroduction into like the professional world because after Birdie, I did readings and stuff, but like I didn't have a big thing until like 4 years later. And like, you know, I was in school, so blah, blah, blah. But I was in school full time and then going to the show at night. And I auditioned for the show over 20 times before I booked her.
I read that. That is crazy.
They told me in the room that I got it when I did finally get it. Because it was like the ongoing joke that like, oh, Danny's coming back in. And I was finally at peace with like, you know what? If I don't get it this time, it's like, it is what it is. And, you know, I'm just going to be fine. It's going to be fine. So I went in. I had a final callback. There was four of us. They're like, oh, like, go take a week of ballet. And then we're having another final callback. And I was like, great. So I did. And then came back in. Three different guys and me. So I was down to four again. Sang, danced, did the thing. Everybody's in there. Like, Disney. Jeff Calhoun, Disney. Producer. Harvey was in there. Like, everybody was in there. And then I'm like on my way to the elevator with my bag being like, okay, there's nothing else I could have done. Like truly, like that's it. And they're like, Danny, can you come back inside? They want to ask you something. And I was like, sure. I thought they were just going to ask me to like do a double tour again or like do something. And I was like, oh, at this point I will play a fucking newspaper. Just like, let me. And then they're like, how would you like to be a newsie? And I truly broke down and sobbed, like truly sobbed. And
I have chills just hearing that.
Yeah, and I got on the train right away and I like took the train out to my parents' house and I was like, holy fucking shit, I'm a newsie. And like, you know, those fans of the show knew I was in the show before it was announced because all the guys followed me on Twitter before like I was announced and it was like a whole thing and I had to like play dumb. So like that was like my reintroduction into the professional world and what a show to come back with.
I mean, didn't you all do Dancing with the Stars and...
I joined after that. So like I did the whole last year of the run. So I did September to the end of the run, which was in like end of August.
And yeah, so we saw you. We saw you. Final month.
Yeah, I mean, I loved that show. I could never do Albert, my track again because these brittle bones, hon. but I mean, Crutchy truly just... It's one of my favorite roles I've ever played. And like, I got to do Davey too, which is so like, not many people, like they look at me and they're like, oh, you're Crutchy. Even though like I went in for a replacement of Crutchy and they're like, oh, you're not a Crutchy. And then I ended up doing it on Broadway, at the Beanie, at CLO, like truly like, I'm like, I think I've done Crutchy. I don't want to say I've done it the most, but I feel like I've done it for a really long time. And it's like, you know, I was in PT for a while because my foot was just like sickle.
Oh my God.
Sickle biscuit. You know, they yeah. But Newsies was incredible.
Well, the trick that Crutchy does at the end of Seize the Day is crazy.
But where he like jumps through his arm.
Uh-huh. Did it ever not happen?
Yes. I mean, for sure in rehearsal, I was like, I'm like the biggest, like I will go for it and like fuck it up and then be like, okay, well now I know what not to do. Different story, but in tech for Charlie, I did this whole thing in our song and I like jump over the chair and I like jump off and I ate shit. I like the arm of the chair had like a lip and my foot hit it and I like jumped over the chair, like glided over it and then like did like a like face plant on the stage. Kept going. Oh, it was God. Only tech, but I like my one of the swings who's my cover was recording the number and like he sent it to me because I wanted to see it and you can hear him go like after and I was like, that's amazing, you know, you've made it when someone there it's like, are you all right? Like
oh my God,
that's so fun.
It's so stupid.
And then you did Wicked with Kara Lindsay. Was Kara in Newsies with you still? Yeah,
she was in my first 6 months of the show and then left to go do Wicked on the road. And she would always be like crossing under the trap while we're like, you know, hanging out because, or with the little downtime. And she'd be like doing something silly. I'm like, well, that's got to go in your popular. It just has to.
Yeah.
And then who knew that I would like, I like went and saw her first show on Broadway. And then less than 6 months later, I was doing the show. And that whole thing, it happened very quickly. My audition process was in one day.
Wow.
It was an immediate replacement. I did a walking combination in the dance. It was like during like a one short day walking combination, which I royally messed up. And I was like, cool, not going to get this. And then, but I'd been in for Bach a few months prior. So they knew that I could like do that at least. So that was, I had that going for me. And then I went in to sing at the end and was like, like they were, there was four of us. It's always four. And they just had us singing the last like Wicked of No One Mourns the Wicked, like the Wicked, like, and you know, they did it one by one and it's a B flat. And I like was like, work, got this, did it. And then the next day I was taking Jackson to get a haircut and I was in a cab on my way downtown and I got a call being like, they need you in Oz. And I'm like such a baby. I cry about everything. But like, this was like beyond special because like, my screen name was Tragically Green too when I was a kid. Like I was in the online, like I was in the online day Wicked Day singing contest in seventh grade. I was singing Dance Your Life top 10, didn't book it or didn't win, but I guess I did win because I got to do the show on Broadway. And I saw the show like so many times. Like I wrote Shoshana Bean fan letter. Like I have met her.
Oh yeah.
I have met her since and like we're friendlier now. Like, and I literally was like, I like Instagram messaged her a photo of like the picture that I sent her. And I got to do a reading of Dear Evan Hansen before it was called Dear Evan Hansen. And I was in the ensemble and Jennifer Laura Thompson was in it. And I was like, I have to tell you, you are my first Glinda. And I like wanted to kill myself immediately after I said it. I was like, oh my God, she's going to hate me. She's like, you're so young. I want to punch you in the face. I was like, okay, cool. But yeah, Wicked is truly just, I could talk about Wicked for a billion hours. So yeah.
Oh, yeah, we love it.
It's the best. I think it's a perfect musical.
I mean, I really do. Sure. I feel like Wicked needs to like do better with casting and, you know, agree. Especially yes. After however many years it's been on Broadway that there hasn't been a woman of color playing Elphaba full time when it's about someone's skin. I know.
Well, I hope that perhaps the film will hopefully have a woman of color playing Elphaba.
I hope so.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah. I hope, and I hope that, like, just in general, I think that, I hope that that Wicked just gets a little bit more, they are woke, but I hope that they actually become woke now. And I think they will. They're doing all the right things, like, I think, and they want it, they want to do well, so that's, yeah, I mean, they've been running for how long?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is crazy. I mean, Lindsay Mendez is, you know, Latinx, but she passes as white.
Every person that they've had it, I've had play Elphaba, I feel like is, and it's not taking away from those women that are of color, but it's just like, it's always someone that's white passing. And it's like, you're painting her literally green. Like it does not, the person could be, I just can't. So
I know it's weird considering like the first national tour went out with Derek Williams as Fiero. It's like they weren't afraid to change up anybody out, like, because it doesn't matter.
In London, they've had like
Alexia Kadim.
One of the last box was a guy of color, so which I think is super super cool. And I don't know. I just think it's like, especially in a show like that, it's like it's a magical fairy magic land. It does not.
Yeah.
Like what?
Yeah.
Like I'm like, can I? It's yeah. Anyway,
I love that you're speaking voice to it because we need to keep talking about it. We talked about this with so many of our guests that back in June, there were so many amazing conversations happening and we can't stop having them. People like us should be having them to continue giving voice and helping lift up other voices. So props to that, Dani. I appreciate you bringing
you know,
that.
I just think that especially with this last election and everything, it's just that like, if you stay silent at this point, it's not that you're guilty by association, but it's like, we have to use our voices. And like, I have been given some sort of little platform and my views, my likes, everything has gone down, but I do not give a literal shit because I am sharing and hopefully bringing light to some situations and stuff that's happening in the world that my followers don't know about. And if you don't like it, fine, but I'm going to keep speaking out because we are given our voice and like it's our right, like as a citizen of the United States and like on this earth to use our voice for good and to change for good. You see what I did there?
Oof, for good. I was gonna say the citizens of Oz.
Everything you're saying is just music to my ears. And I remember when we were, Dylan, when we were recording before the election, we were like, we noticed the people who aren't using their voice, and it's embarrassing. Shame on you, because
It's a privilege not to have to talk about shit like that. And I'm sorry for interrupting you, but
No, you're good.
Like as a LGBTQ person, I was like, you know, it's a privilege to those who don't speak out, because I'm like, oh, you're a cis white person, and mm-hmm. no matter who wins the election, your life's going to be fine. Exactly. Yes, if Donald Trump wins, it's like, what the actual fuck? But it's just like, I'm like, that's what I feel like I can do. And it like, I mm-hmm. was almost like too like involved this election.
No,
but it was the most important election of our entire lives, I think.
Seriously.
Absolutely. And like, I was glued to CNN and like, you know, like,
yeah,
especially like the morning that we found out that it was announced. Like, I woke up, Jimmy knocked on our door because he's part of our pod, like opened the door with champagne, and we were just like all sobbing, like, like it was raining for like 20 minutes. I like literally like was like outside like dancing in the rain. I was like, wash him away, like really.
Oh man, I know, that was the happiest moment I've had in I think 4 years.
Yeah,
for real.
Yeah,
for real.
Yes, because voting is sexy.
Yes. No, I think that what you were saying about how you feel like you were too much, I don't think so. Because I mean, this, we had to do it, and anyone who wasn't was complicit. And then there's people who were a little too voice on the other side, like Chad Kimball, and we can just move on.
That's drama. Okay,
I can't believe we haven't talked about Chad Kimball. We'll talk about it on the Patreon.
Okay, listen, so we've already started to get into it, but this has been such a huge year. I mean, there was the election, the pandemic, Broadway shut down, Black Lives Matter finally had a moment, and I hope continues to help people learn and unlearn things. And there have been so many wild and groundbreaking moments of 2020. But I want to get into some of the pop culture moments, because like I said at the top, there have been a lot of interesting things that have occurred. And we're going to do a little, you know, at the end of every episode, we usually do a dose of drama where we share some pop culture, maybe something on our minds. But today we're going to do a 2020 year in review dose of drama with the Danny Quadrino. And Dylan, do you want to kick it off with some of the we're just going to like run through the list and share all of our favorites or maybe most notable moments per topic. How about that? Dylan, do you want to start?
So I would say the first thing that comes to mind would be what our favorite live production or performance was. And obviously there wasn't much time for it pre-pandemic, but my favorite thing that I saw was Company, which was the last thing I saw actually as well before everything shut down. And I thought it was a masterpiece. We wanted to go back and say hi to Matt Doyle, and he's like, there's something with the set. And then I later learned it was that they had truly just restricted guests from coming backstage.
Yeah. Oh, I loved Company.
What about you, Connor?
My favorite live play was both parts of The Inheritance, which just like knocked me off my feet. I just reread the play the other day, and it was of course better to see live, but it holds up as a play. And I mean, I could talk about it forever and ever, but it was almost perfect. I mean, I wish there was a little bit more queer actors playing queer characters, and I wish there were more people of color and more body representation in it.
That's another thing that we do not talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oof, I could go on for that, but I won't.
I know. it was disappointing, but reading the play, none of it is specific truly to any of that. So hopefully as it has more life, it was supposed to play the West Coast, I think, or maybe somewhere down South. Anyway, hopefully we'll see more of The Inheritance. Oh my God, Danny, it is so good. Like,
I think I might read the play, you know, if it holds up still, just because I never got to see it.
It does, yeah. What about you? Do you have a favorite live production you saw in 2020?
Oh my God, I don't even remember what the last thing I saw was. Like, so I went to the opening night of Tina Turner, the musical. One of my best friends who was the Glinda dresser is Adrian Warren Strasser. So she was like, will you be my date? And I was like, duh. Like, truly, like, my time at Wicked is like flooded with memories with Kate, because she was like my constant, because she was always there, because she, you know, people in the company would leave, but she was like, leave. She was always there. She left to go do that. And I got to see the opening night of that. I think it was 2020.
And wasn't Tina herself there at the curtain call?
When I tell you that Oprah Winfrey walked her down the aisle. Yes, of the Lunt. I was on the end, like I was on the opposite end of like the row, but like it was like one of the smaller rows because it was like in the orchestra towards the back, and I was like, effing shit. Oprah and Tina Turner are literally like less than 12 feet away from me and I could die happy. So I did that. But that, I think that was like so special just because like Adrian Warren's performance in that is truly, 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 truly like one of the best things I've ever seen. I like was like just I was just a mess because I was like watching this girl play Tina Turner while Tina Turner is that it just like I just got it was I didn't even like I wasn't even involved in the production. I was like, this is like this is so that's my favorite of 2020 and probably
I love
the
it.
Only thing that I saw in 2020.
Wait, because then you were in Fly, mm-hmm. so it was like you weren't seeing anything else. Yeah. Wow. Okay, so what about post-pandemic? So a production that might have been virtual. It was the year of the virtual performance. Connor, do you want to start this one off?
Yeah, and I had a different answer, but I've got Dua Lipa on the brain, and she did a virtual Studio 2054. I think it was like pre-filmed, but it was so good. And it was kind of like her moment of promoting her album in the year when we should have been in the clubs dancing to it and we didn't get to, but she really made it work. I mean,
love her so much. I saw her open up for Troye Sivan at Terminal 5 the year before she like blew up.
What a bill. I love them both.
Right? Dead. Also, his new music lately is just so good.
I love it. Oh my God. Yeah, I would say Dua Lipa. Dylan, what about you? Favorite?
The Dua Lipa thing reminded me of being at Hardware, like on like a Friday night, on the Super Size Queen Friday night.
Yes.
Getting the photographer, taking pictures. Okay, so my favorite was probably the Sondheim 90th birthday celebration. I thought that was glorious. Elizabeth Stanley slayed the house down. Boots with her Miller son. Did you have a favorite virtual? I don't know if you were fatigued from the virtual.
No, it's very much more pop music. I'm a big fan of Rozzy, who is a recording artist. She opened up for Betty Who in San Francisco when I was there. David and I actually both, my boyfriend and I, requested a day off to go see Betty Who, and they like let us go, which was incredible. But aww. I got to see Rozzy perform and I fell in love with her like that moment. She released a song called Orange Skies and it's about the fires that were happening in California. And she like released it and then like the like week later did like an hour long free virtual concert. And it just is like her voice is like truly like unbelievable. That was probably like my favorite thing because it was like her and a piano with her like little mic in her house. And just so raw and just like so talented. So like, I think that was my favorite like virtual thing that I've seen.
I love.
I'll have to look that up. I know Rozzy, but I don't know any of her music.
Oh my God, you need to. You will be truly obsessed. It's like, she is like Jessie J and like Dua Lipa and like all these art and like JoJo and like all these people like mixed into one that it's just, and her vocals are just, her vibrato alone like feels like velvet when she's singing like, oh my God.
Ooh,
and I did a cover of hers, like just like a quick little minute of it. And she commented on it. And I'm like, like truly just like,
That's awesome.
I love, yeah. I'm going to have to check
it
out.
Was it a cover of Orange Skies?
No, it was a cover of the song Never Over You from her album. And she's just so good.
I already know I'm going to love it.
It's so good. You're going to love her.
Okay. So talking about theater, going back to theater really quick, did we have a favorite Tony nomination that came out of the year? I know it's been all so delayed and messy.
The Tony Awards needs to do better because they're like late December.
It's late December.
Like what is happening? Like,
I feel like they're just holding out for a live,
that is drama.
Like a live, award ceremony.
Yeah.
I hope that's why they're taking so long. But like, I feel like the silence again, I'm like, hello, can you just fill everybody in, especially those nominees? I mean, maybe they know something that we don't, but like, yeah.
Maybe. Well, I think my favorite Tony nomination is tied to The Inheritance, and it's Andrew Belknap, who got nominated for Best Leading Actor in a Play. He is a queer actor playing a queer role, but there's drama because this role is kind of the main supporting actor in it. And the actor who played the leading role, technically, Kyle Soler, he was fantastic. He won the Olivier in London for playing Best Lead Actor, and Belknap wasn't nominated.
Ooh.
So Kyle wasn't nominated for a Tony, and Andrew, who's kind of the supporting actor, was nominated for leading actor. And the category fraud/switching around is interesting to me. So I'm wondering if they submitted all three leads as lead. I don't know. Interesting, but interesting. He's terrific in the part, and I think I would love to see him win, but
that would be cool.
Did any nominations excite you, Danny?
Yes. I mean, seeing that Adrian was nominated is like, mm-hmm. it was like a no-brainer to me. But I also loved that Jagged Little Pill got so much recognition. I didn't get to see the show, but I think that show is like super special. And it's like, it's one of those things that like has a really big like following and like it's special to the teens. And I think that is really important when it comes to like Broadway. And like, I know growing up, like I had Next to Normal, not growing up. I was like a junior in high school and I saw the show like 6 times. Like my dream show is to be Gabe to Shoshana Bean's Diana, like speaking it into existence.
Stop. Oh my
like,
God.
Like at some point in my life. But yeah, so like, I think that show was like super important and like tackles a lot of like really big, like, you know, mainstream things that's happening in the world today. So I think the fact that that got as much recognition as it did, I think is really special. But that and Adrian's nom, because when Adrian got nominated, I was like, duh, if she doesn't win, it's robbed.
Speaking of Gabe, my favorite is Aaron Tveit, finally getting his due. He is the only nominee in his category.
Right. But half the people have to vote for him or else he doesn't win.
Right.
That would be really tragic. And I really hope that he wins still. I mean,
they won't let that happen.
He would never come back to Broadway, I think, if he
lost. He'll be like Jennifer Hudson when she didn't get... Oh, no, not Jennifer Hudson. Or was it Jennifer Hudson? Who played... No, Leona Lewis, when she didn't get the Tony nom for Grizz. Yes. She was like,
bye.
I'm out.
Shablam moment. Yeah.
And no one's heard from her since.
Stop it. Stop it. Okay, so next up we have music to discuss. This was, Connor mentioned the Pop Girlies didn't disappoint, but we had so many new artists emerge. It was so easy for people to be able to release different albums and whatnot. I'm going to go first because I can't decide. We've ad nauseum discussed Taylor on this podcast. Evermore and Folklore are amazing. But the albums that I listened to the most were Gaslighter by The Chicks, which I thought was phenomenal and didn't get any recognition from the Grammys, which I think the Grammys are stupid. But I am a Directioner at heart, and Niall Horan's album Heartbreak Weather hit me. I am a sucker for the Irish star.
I love
him.
I don't know him. I'll have to listen to him.
Oh, he's so precious.
He's cute. Yeah, I mean, I love all those too, but I think my favorite album of the year is Chromatica by Lady Gaga. It's so good. It's every song is great from start to finish. It's so cohesive and she sounds amazing. And I didn't originally have tickets to the Chromatica ball that was canceled, but I think once we're back having in-person experiences, I've got to go see that. Her tour, that album. If she does it, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, Taylor was supposed to have a Lover Fest this past summer, and she's released 2 albums
she's
since then.
So
I don't know what is going to happen next year. Yeah, crazy. Danny, do you have a favorite album of the year?
I have 2. So my first one of the year is probably, it's not from this year per se, one of them. It is... B. Steadwell, Queer Love Songs. I don't know if you've ever heard it.
Oh, ooh, yes.
Holy shit. I've discovered it in quarantine, and the song Greens is just like so good. But I think Maggie Rogers dropped a new album like on Friday. And I mean,
yeah,
she is just everything to me. So like, and I think it's cool because it's like deep cuts and it's stuff that like she's been writing over the last 10 years. So that's probably like, in 2020 just stole like my favorite album, you know, but I am obsessed. I got involved with Spotify very late, but my Discover Weekly is very good every week. My boyfriend tells me, I was like, that's the nicest thing you could say to me. So I was like, is that my taste in music?
Oh, I love that.
That's how I found B. Steadwell and someone else named Duncan Lawrence recently came across. He's like another queer artist who won Eurovision like a few years ago. Like Spotify Weekly is so good. Connor is a Maggie Rogers stan.
I am. I think I want to get a tattoo of one of her song lyrics.
Like,
I don't know. We'll
water.
See.
Light on.
from I know it's from a. I don't know if I want to reveal it on the pod. Yeah, it's a song there from Alaska. Okay, I'll say that.
I love
much.
That song. Yeah. I mean, I sing her shit all the time. But I was supposed to see her at Radio City when she played, but then our tour got extended and I paid like $500 for like, you know, two seats, like really, really like 10 rows back. And I didn't get to go. I was able to sell them, but I was just so sad. The person I sold them to, I messaged them and I was like, please have the best time. You really need to. Yeah. I love Mackie.
I went. I bought a ticket to that and I went by myself because there were only single seats available and I had the time of my life.
That sounds amazing.
Oh my God. It was actually really fun to be there alone because her music is so like ethereal and she's like floating around on stage. It was awesome. I loved it. Okay. So I mentioned earlier this, I don't think 2020 was a great year for new films. I don't know. I watched so many old films, but do y'all have any favorite movies from 2020?
I do.
Yeah?
Okay, Christmas in the Square is tragically amazing.
Yes!
It's so good. It is so good. It's what we needed.
We did need it. I loved The Prom. I really, really did. Besides
we did too.
James Corden, I really, really, really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. And like once I even got past that, I was like, work, this is amazing. But I know that a queer person should have been playing the role and this, that. And like, I agree with everything. I agree with everything that everyone is saying. I talked with my hands. But I was like, kind of like, it's like a double-edged sword because it's like people are like, all the Broadway people should have been in. Yes, I agree. But like, this is Hollywood's retelling of it. And like, this is just my opinion. I could be wrong. But this story is so special at its core. So I thought that like, yes, I agree that all the Broadway people should have been in it. But because of all these names were in it, that story just, the audience just like has spanned so far now that I think I'm like, cool.
Absolutely.
I still think a gay person should have played the gay part, but I don't know. I fucking loved it. I watched it again on the plane 2 days ago, and I was just like, like sobbing. Oh, just full out.
How can you not sob during that? It's such a good story. When Kerry Washington, this is a spoiler for, I mean, I'm sure our listeners have all seen it or seen the movie or the show, but when Kerry Washington, Mrs. Green, says to her daughter, I just don't want you to have a hard life. Like that line is
chills.
So beautiful and like, people who you know, everyone who's experienced the coming out has probably heard some version of that from somebody, whether it was in anger, sadness, or whatever. But Kerry Washington also serving vocals.
I mean, Kerry Washington.
I know.
Little Fires Everywhere.
I was gagged, honey.
Was so good.
Oh, yes. Oh, that should have been on my TV one. Okay, well, we'll get to TV in a second. But my movie, I was going to talk about Onward, the Pixar movie that I cried like a baby. It is, for anyone who's ever had a brother or a sibling or anything like that, it's a nostalgic piece. Pixar just gets it. But that was the last thing I saw in theaters before everything shut down. But I will also say Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, the final performance of Chadwick Boseman and Viola Davis, I think they're both going to get Oscars for it. It is phenomenal. It's 90 minutes. It's theater on film once again. And I think it stole Onward for me as the best movie. I loved every second of it.
Love that.
Yeah. It's on Netflix now for anyone who hasn't seen it.
Speaking of Ryan Murphy and Netflix, I think my favorite movie of the year was The Boys in the Band.
I need to watch that one. Bad Gay.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah, it's great. I'm not going to speak too much to it, but it was awesome. And I think it's important for gay people to watch it. We were trying to sell it to all of our friends. We're like, you need to see it. And again, all gay people playing gay roles, which we love. Even a gay person playing a role that's straight, I think,
hey,
too.
That's
right?
Fine. Taking so many hours all the time. So why not?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was so good. Okay, so on to TV shows. There were so many good shows this year. And you know what? This was the year, you know, the pandemic hit, and I have always been a Vanderpump Rules fan, but I decided to fully become a Bravo-holic.
Welcome.
And I you know what? It has been the greatest. It felt like I was welcomed into a family. I started the pandemic just watching Vanderpump Rules. Now I watch six cities of Housewives and, you know, other Bravo related spinoffs. And it has just been such a journey. But I would say my favorite scripted show of the year was the fourth season of Insecure on HBO, which was so good. I freaking loved it. It was so great. This season was maybe the best one yet. And I think Kerry Washington actually directed an episode of it.
She did.
Queen.
She did. Yeah. Queen. What do y'all think? Favorite show of the year?
Do you have one or should I go first?
I'll go first. It's Real Housewives of Potomac for sure. It changed my whole life. I quote it almost every day. Karen Huger is my new godmother. It's everything. but other shows that I loved were Queen's Gambit, and I loved Outer Banks because I'm a sucker for a teen series. And I also loved Cheer, which that was this year, if you remember Cheer. Although we can't really watch Cheer anymore because of the Jerry of it all.
Mm. Yeah, troubling. We'll move on. But that was a great show. I loved it. What about you, Danny?
Euphoria on HBO.
Oh, yes.
I May Destroy You, also on HBO.
Oh,
Legendary,
that one.
Also on HBO Max. Did you...
Yes.
Holy shit. HBO Max is like serving us. I was so mad. I'm like, why are you getting rid of HBO Go? Why do I have to like pay for a service? And I'm like, all right, you sold me.
Yeah, right?
I love those three. And then reality, obviously, The Wives, every single damn one of them. And
The Wives.
my girls. I just kind of caught up on Atlanta this season is really great. You know, the first episode, they already started talking about like the Black Lives Matter movement and how Portia was arrested. Yeah. And like, it's just like, I love that they're showing that. The only Wives I don't watch because I think they're all fucking hot garbage is OC. Like, OC is trash on a stick.
Yeah.
Kelly Dodd is disgusting. Like, truly, I hope she hears this one day. I'm just kidding.
Well, you know she listens. You know she listens every week, Danny.
I've heard horrible things about her. I've never...
She's dating the head OC. Of Fox News. Good night.
Oh dear.
Next. I don't watch I don't watch Dallas either. Is it worth dipping my toes into or no?
I don't think Dallas is real. I don't know why I don't think it's as real.
Oh.
I'm such a stan of The Wives, but I have not dipped into Dallas, so I shouldn't say all of them. Like Atlanta, Potomac, New York, Jersey, I fell off the wagon. Because it feels too close to home. I'm like, everyone's related, like mafia.
That makes sense for you, yeah.
But yeah, every other one. Real Housewives of Melbourne, which is in Australia, they had like two seasons, not this year, but like a couple years back. Worth the watch.
I'll have to find it.
I'd listen for the accents alone.
Oh my God. And there's a woman named Pity Flower, but her name's like Pity Flower. And it's like the way they say it is incredible. I love it so much. Yeah.
Is it available on like Hulu or Netflix or something?
Hulu or the Bravo app or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. We have that. We have that as well. I love it. I love it. And in Salt Lake, of course, Heather is my odd breakout favorite.
I do not want to be in a fight with Heather. That's all I'm going to say. Because she's so sweet and she really does. She means well. And I don't know if you guys watched the last episode, but I was so happy for her to get it. She deserves to get it.
She was killing it. She was killing it with that guy.
I was like,
she kind of had game.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You
and
know?
I think that's probably what intimidates most Mormon men. I'm like, I'm this such a
yeah. Yeah, I love her. I'm obsessed with Meredith Marks.
I saw something like Heather posted on social media, like in support of trans rights or something.
Asked her if she was trans and she was like, that's a compliment. Yeah. I was like, work, hon. That's really great.
Uh-huh. It was really
I'm
cool.
Obsessed.
Yeah, she's a good follow. She's so fun and pure, honestly.
She's great.
That Mormon heart reformed.
She does. She always ties it back to like Mormonism, I find. Like she'll always be like, the Mormons wouldn't be into this. But I think that's what gives Salt Lake its little twist.
Miriam Cosby is a national treasure, though, I feel like, of like a mess. I'm like, oh my God. And like Jen Shaw, she was on the episode of Watch What Happens Live that I was in the virtual audience for. And she was like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just think that you shouldn't like talk about other people's marriages and like stuff like that. So it's like, you don't know her situation. Yes. Like the situation is that Mary was betrothed to her step grandfather, which is fucking wild, mm-hmm. but I'm not going to judge her for that. I wouldn't personally do that, but I'm not going to judge her for that.
I know. Well, I think there's like a sadness there as we've dived.
I don't think she's
deeper into it.
Season two. That's.
I don't think so. I think she's a one and done. It's almost like a Kim Richards level of nonsense and purity. And
remember Jules?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, you were just telling me about Jules, Connor.
she was, well, I think there was a lot going on with her marriage.
That's
and
true.
That was troubling. Yeah. Okay, anyway.
We need to have another podcast with Rachel. Yes.
all the Bravo tea. Okay, speaking actually back to that really quick though. Jen, I was like, oh, she seems like she was ready for this. You know what I mean? And then I found out she's been like watching Housewives since OC came out.
So she knew what to do. She's grooming herself for it for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. She was like, I want to
turn the stilettos and the ice, like stepping out. It's like, come on.
I just watched a rerun of Jersey the other night, and it was like Teresa and Dina getting out of a car in the snow in heels. I was like, what is it with these women? Can't you just walk up to the house in your boots and then take your heels out of your bag like a nice girl going to an EPA does? You know what I mean? Like,
yes. Oh my God, I'm gagged.
And they've seen it all. Okay, so going on to something a little bit more naughty, but maybe like a celeb crush, someone who might have emerged this year and captured your heart. I would say if anyone saw Normal People on Hulu, the lead, Paul Mescal, this beautiful Irishman, he is definitely my celeb crush. There's a theme here that I love.
Irish. Yes.
he is gorgeous. And I'm sure everyone here who's seen it also follows the Twitter account, Connell's Chain, the sexy chain necklace that he wears throughout the entire series. I had to buy my boyfriend one for his birthday. So,
Dad, you're like, you need to wear this because
I was like, you think you just look really good.
Following
on Instagram.
Oh, I'm so gagged. That's hilarious. Okay. The show Watchmen on HBO, this really hot guy named Yahya Abdul-Mateen. He won the Emmy for playing the part, but he is so hot. Oh my God. And this is,
you see him naked.
You see him naked and it's right.
Work.
It's right. And I also loved Emily in Paris's hot chef neighbor crush. He was really hot. But I don't condone cheating. So that was like a whole
other
thing.
He was hot because of that. I mean, I'm so basic. And I'm like, Harry Styles, fuck.
That's a good one.
Like, his album, like, literally just, like, made me feel things. And then, like, seeing him in the dress, I was like, oh, I'm feeling so many things right now. I love Harry Styles. I think that, I love Harry Styles.
Yeah, him and that full guiche made everyone tremble in ways. I don't think people were, I think, a little scared, I think.
Absolutely.
You know?
I got so many DMs from people being like, can you do a photo shoot in a dress? And I was like, I mean, I guess I could. I'm the same size as my mom. I'm just like full nightgown. Like, and
when I say scared, I think I meant like straight men were suddenly like, am I feeling something I've never felt before? Yeah. You guys knew what I was saying. You guys knew what I was saying.
I love it.
Okay. So our final moment before we wrap this up is the moment of the year. What was the pop culture moment that you will look back on 2020? And it could be political, it could be not, that you will be like, oh, this was the year of this. And I want to go first because I just want to talk about it, was that we had so much Drag Race.
I was going to say that. That's hilarious.
Well, it's that we had all queens of color winning the English-speaking versions of the show. We had Jada Essence Hall, we had Priyanka in Canada, and then we had Shea Coulee win All-Stars 5, her rightful crown.
The Holy Trinity.
Truly.
I love that. Truly. That's fun. I love that one, Dylan. That's a pop culture moment.
And we're getting a brand new season, like New Year's Day, and another season of UK. So I'm just like, I've been so here for all the drag queen content.
Same. And, you know, we were talking about this we had a Secret Santa Zoom with our friends last night talking about Drag Race. And
tonight.
Oh my God, it's going to be so fun. And I was saying, you know, the only downside to having all this Drag Race during the pandemic is the queens don't get to tour and make the coin. But I think that there will be amazing, like, what's it called? Work the World tours and everything with all the queens from the pandemic who will get to finally have their moment.
Do you have WOW Presents Plus?
We'll get it for this.
For UK.
Because the other stuff that they have on there, sorry, I'm throwing my socks because Jackson is a sock bandit. they have like Work the World tour and like God Shave the Queens tour. So that's all like more content. And it's like 30-minute episodes of like them like just in like interviewing one of the queens on the tour, and it's really fun. It's really fun.
And doesn't it oddly feature Alyssa Edwards?
God Shave the Queens does, because she was the host of the UK tour, which I'm like,
oh, fun.
Anything with Alyssa is you're gonna get nothing but hilarity.
She's the Mary M. Cosby of Drag Race.
No, she's like classier than that, I feel like.
Yeah. She's to me one of the Dallas queens.
Yeah, she's like the Dina Manzo of or Caroline Manzo. She's like, you mess with my family.
Caroline. Oh, I love Caroline Manzo. Oh my god.
Me too.
Okay,
finish it up. Finish us off.
Aside from, I think when I look back on this year, I will remember Black Lives Matter truly changing America, and I'm going to hope it will continue to. But aside from all of the actual cultural importance, that I would give anything to relive the day Taylor Swift announced that she was dropping Folklore. I was gagged. I mean, I'm a stan. Like, truly, she's my queen. And I was just so thrilled because she usually waits a couple of years between albums. And the idea that she wrote all these songs in quarantine, and oh my God, that was it. And then she was like, hey, I've got a couple more.
Truly.
Another album. So she's, you know, to quote Barbara Walters, Taylor Swift is the music industry.
Oh, wow.
I thought Beyonce's visual album that was on Disney Plus.
Yes.
Disney Plus. What am I talking about? I thought that was like something. I like when 2020 happens, when I look back, I will think of Drag Race, Black Lives Matter, coronavirus, and that Beyonce like visual album.
Just Black is King.
Black is King.
Black is King. Like that truly, watching it was just so beautiful. I don't know. Like, and it just like, I hope that like the people that still didn't know what was going on with Black Lives Matter and just in the world, like after that, maybe had their eyes opened and was able to like maybe like find their way in, because like I've said 16 other times on this, it's like we need to be speaking up and we need to enforce these changes. And
yeah,
you guys said like we have a lot of unlearning to do and relearning to do. Mm-hmm. So it's like super important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what my 2020 I think is going to be. Like my recap, you know.
I love it. Yeah, God, she's amazing.
Danny, you are a gem. This was so fun. Thank you for all of your insights and literally my cheeks are from smiling. This was so much fun. Everyone should of course follow you to hear all your beautiful covers and see the pictures and the political activism. Yes. You're just at Danny Quadrino.
Yes, on right? TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram. TikTok I am so new at, I still don't understand it, but yeah. And I can't wait till this pandemic is over so we can go out and talk all the tea about everything.
We will.
And talk the tea.
Oh my God, I can't wait, Danny.
We will. We absolutely will. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for wrapping up the year with us.
I couldn't be more honored, so thank you.
All right, and everyone should, of course, follow us at The Drama Podcast. Follow me at Dylan McDowell.
Me at Connor McDowell, and we'll see you in 2021.
All right, Connor, next time.
Drama.